I'm Attorney Ben Krupp, along with Attorney Billy Murphy, a legendary trial lawyer, as well as Attorney Biha Shear, Attorney Carol Powell Lexing, Attorney Malcolm Ruff, and Attorney Marvin Walden. We have the honor of representing the families of Ross Otto and Victor King. Their family members are present here with us, and they will speak before you as we talk about this, what we believe, historic lawsuit that is being filed against the United States government. Ross Otto, Hambrick, and Victor King were two black babies who were used as guinea pigs, as lab rats, in a very targeted effort by the United States government. This follows a long history of the medical society and the United States government experimenting on black bodies as what we believe was an epidemic of medical racism. It follows the lineage of the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. It follows the tradition of Henrietta Lacks and the little assault of black bodies by John Hopkins, scientists, in the name of medicine, using black bodies and black lives as guinea pigs and lab rats. It follows using black soldiers in World War II, giving them faulty gas masks and having their body deteriorate in gas chambers. It follows black women's bodies being sterilized when they went in for routine medical procedures in the South, known popularly as the Mississippi appendectomy, the most famous victim being the civil rights icon Fannie Lou Hamer, who said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." But today, talking about these black babies, Ross Otto Hambrick and Victor King, these innocent, innocent babies, these infants, it was worst of all because they were using babies who couldn't talk, who couldn't walk, who could not in any way give any type of consent. They were using our babies as experiments. And so we start there. This Ross Otto and Victor King RSP trials are woven into the fabric of the United States racist medical history. This new matter has come to light in the wake of RSP research resurgence. And this is the matter of babies Ross Otto and Victor. Let me walk you through the history before you hear from the families. This history that led to the preventable deaths of these two black babies, Ross Otto and Victor. Researchers at the United States National Institute of Health first developed an early stage RSV vaccine and administered it to at least 54 babies at a hospital known largely for black patient population. At least 10 of them ended up in the hospital, and the head researcher researcher of respiratory virus section of the NIH, Robert Shannock, later acknowledged that these were unusually high rates of possible outcome, outside the range of normal. Rather than stop the studies and go back to the drawing board, the NIH decided to partner with Charles Pfizer and company to make the failed vaccine 100 times more concentrated. This became known as Lot 100. Little research on the efficacy or safety of the Lot 100 RSV vaccine was conducted. And Carol, you talk about this, so on top of it. It was tested on a total of 4 mice, 4 guinea pigs, and 25 monkeys. Apparently, for the NIH, that was significant enough of a safety test, and the results were satisfactory enough so they could begin the study on the true test subjects. Poor black babies. They tested 4 mice, 4 guinea pigs, and 25 monkeys. And then said that was enough of a sample study to start the test on the true subjects, poor black babies in the greater Washington, D.C. area. The NIH preyed on the poor black children of Junior Village here in Washington, D.C. with Lot 100. Junior Village was ran by Washington, D.C., and the 90% black children in its care were referred to in many ways as orphans. Although they had parents that still live as residents of Washington, D.C., they even referred to them at times as inmates. These are black babies. In 1966, the NIH ran the first RSV vaccine trial against 70 babies and children aged 6 months to 5 years. Attorney Shear, Dr. Shannock, who became the chief of infectious disease at NIH during this study, described it. Junior Village as a crutch because they ran decades of research against the young black babies and kids in an environment that could heavily mock. They called it a crutch to be able to experiment for black babies. You talk about the inhumanity. Meanwhile, widespread allegations of rape, abuse, and drugging the children ran rampant during the same time period as these unconscionable so-called medical research projects continued. At the same time, the NIH established an additional research site of Lot 100 to be administered at a DC-based hospital, specifically targeting the hospital's community clinic. All or nearly all of the babies test subjects chosen by the NIH were black and poor. Those were the common denominators, black and poor. This unlucky group included the youngest children, 2 to 7 months old. And they included our clients, 2-month-old Ross Arnold, Charlotte, and Ryan's and siblings who loved them. I mean, where was the humanity for their families? Why did NIH and the Pfizer scientists think that it was okay to fix them in on their siblings, their families? Why? I mean, is coming to spend that much of a racist fact that you don't ever see that they were children, that they were babies? I'm sure these babies cried when they stuck needles in them and prod them. And, I mean, what went through the scientists' minds when they did this to these babies? Both babies were involuntarily given the first of three doses in the winter of 1965 and 1966. That spring, there was a severe outbreak of RSV. The third doses were administered at the same time. By autumn, the hospital was leading presentations that Lot 100 might be making children grow severely ill when they caught RSV rather than protect them. They knew it, Carol and Leon. They said, our studies show that instead of making them better, Malcolm, it might be making them sick. Yet Marvin, the NIH, nor the hospital warned the families of the babies who received the vaccine of this heightened risk that they had every reason to know, nor did they stop the trials. They kept the trials going despite what the research were telling them. They continued giving babies the Lot 100 vaccine, infant babies. That December, Ross Otto and Victor both contracted RSV. Both were admitted by the afternoon of December 3rd, 1966. By January 1st, Victor was taking 100 breaths per minute and running with fever. He died shortly after New Year's Day stroke. For Ross Otto, he was taking nearly 3 breaths per second. The family rushed to administer the sacrament of his Catholic baptism. Shortly thereafter, on the morning of January 2nd, Ross Otto had passed. Both babies suffered severe inflammation from the RSV and resulting bacterial pneumonia. Both babies underwent autopsies in which lung samples were surgically removed without consent or knowledge from either family. Now, these harvested tissue samples, decades later, are the basis for today's RSV vaccines approved by the FDA in 2023 and in just the years since 2023 have already generated billions in revenue. They gave autopsies to the babies, not for the sake of giving the truth to the families of Ross Otto and Victor King, but they did the autopsies to see how they could perfect their vaccines. It was never about the health and safety of these babies. It was all about the ruthless pursuit of give that thing to get to market, to turn it into profit. It was always about profit on the sale. How else would you explain them not stopping these deadly vaccines being administered on little black babies in the greater Washington, D.C. area? The families demand justice for the loss of their brother at the hands of the NIH and the United States government. The NIH and the United States of America must be held responsible for the wrongful death of baby Ross Otto Hambrick and baby Victor King, two innocent black babies who was part of an inhumane, racist experiment. The NIH had a duty to determine the cause of failure in the internal vaccine trial, thoroughly test and evaluate the impact of the second vaccine that was 100 times more concentrated than the first failed trial, right? 100 times more concentrated. Even though it had failed and they showed the problems, they just doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on using these babies' bodies. They did establish safety protocols to identify and treat potential adverse health effects. No, that would have been too humane. They, the NIH, had a further duty to stop the Lot 100 trial when they observed unacceptable and highly abnormal rates of adverse health reactions. They knew that these vaccines were not making the babies healthier. They knew that it was making them worse. But yet these men of science, these people took an oath. They didn't care about these black babies' lives. It is evident, not by what they said, but by what they did. They didn't inform the parents of the risk their babies had been exposed to and provide protocols for the parents to follow and to allow them to take protective measures for the need of heightened care for their babies, their infant babies. But the NIH did not do this. Instead, they breached all of these responsibilities and anticipated norms and approximately caused the deaths of Ross Otto and Victor, these infant black babies. Because of the NIH's acts and failings, Victor and Ross Otto spent their final days, their final hours, their final minutes, their final seconds in an agonizing pain, struggling to breathe, struggling to take a breath. They were too little to say, "I can't breathe." That was their last seconds. So we must say it for them. That's why we filed this lawsuit. Justice delayed does not mean justice denied. The NIH and the United States of America must be held to account for their lack of informed consent and using baby Ross Otto and baby Victor as unwilling test subjects, as guinea pigs, as lab rats. The NIH had an obligation to disclose at the very least that Lot 100 had only undergone the most preliminary of testing on a handful of lab animals that has infants of only certain months. 2 months, baby Otto was when they started giving him shots. They were the most susceptible to suffer from severe health consequences, including death. A recent RSV vaccine trial had failed, and that there was no effective treatments to address potential severe health consequences. At least they should have explained that to your mom and dad. At least they should have told your parents that the test didn't go as we thought they would. Do you all still want your children to continue with this trial? But they didn't get any consent from these black families. Not at all. Even after death, they never told them the truth. They fraudulently concealed it. And if it wasn't for the great journalist doing his job to get to the truth, we never would have known. So we can never say thank you to Michael and the other great journalists who do their job to search for truth, no matter where it takes them and leads them, even in the most powerful government in the world. By plainly failing to obtain the informed consent for these babies and forcing injecting lot 100 vaccine into these babies, the NIH and the United States of America intentionally and harmful acts led directly to the death of babies Ross Otto and Victor King. The evidence is there before our eyes. The only question is, what is the United States of America going to do? Well, we intend to hold them to account, because that is what justice requires. At this time, you will hear a few comments from some of the great lawyers assembled on this trial team. And then you will hear from the people who most affect, the families of baby Ross Otto and baby Victor King. This young lady is a true champion of justice, who I'm introducing in it because of her relationship with the family of baby Otto, that it was brought to our attention that we had to do something about this, like we did something about the tragic death of Harriet Lex. She told me with such passion, this is just like that being, but it's even worse because they were babies. And I want to thank you publicly, Carol Powell Lex, and a great lawyer, but a great human being who cared about the legacy of these black babies, Attorney Carol Powell Lex.
Now the medical community is building a billion-dollar industry.
So it's on the property that he and our leader, Billy Murphy, need to fight to get justice for these black babies. By the way.
Thank you, Brother Ben, Attorney Powell, flexing your passion and your advocacy for this family has brought us here today. And we honor you for that, being a strong, powerful black woman attorney here and calling it like it is. Because we know that this country was founded upon principles that resulted in our people, black people, people of color, being considered less than a human being. In fact, they had a percentage, it was 3/5 of a human being. And there's a reason why in the reconstruction of this country, civil rights laws were passed in order to do away with, to eliminate the vestiges of slavery. And yet, even 60 years after the terrible harm that was brought to the young men that we're talking about in this case, these young black babies, Ross Otto and Victor, though it is still clear that America still does not give black people our full franchise. And it played out right here in this, in these families' lives that have been shattered by the outcome that was caused intentionally to young black babies simply because they thought that they were disposable. What happened to Ross Otto Hamburg and Victor King was disguised as science, but that wasn't medicine. These were black babies from vulnerable families, as Attorney Frankel said, that were used as test subjects by their own government. The government that's supposed to protect us. The government that's supposed to serve us. Mm-hmm. And their parents were then left in the dark for decades. Left to themselves then die thinking that something else had happened. And you're going to hear from this family and about how that has reverberated as a theme throughout their entire lives. That is the harm that we're here to address.
Yes.
At Murphy, Falcon & Murphy in Baltimore, led by our senior founding partner, William H. Billy Murphy, we have spent our entire careers fighting for the families harmed by abuses of power. And this case is about accountability. It's about truth. It's about making it clear that no institution, not even the federal government, is above the law when human lives are treated as disposable. These families deserve honesty, they deserve the truth to be told, they deserve justice, yeah, instead of being just us. Today is about finally beginning that fight, and I'm proud to stand with each and every one of you until we receive that justice that is so deserved. God bless each one of your families.
Thank you, Mark, for your great leadership in the legislature and in the courtroom. Next, we would hear from another great attorney who has been on the journey with the King family for almost 3 decades. We're so fortunate to have him as part of this historic legal team. I give you attorney Marvin Wallman.
It is indeed an honor to stand with this family from Billy Murphy, Malcolm Ruff, and Jason Foster in seeking justice for the family of Victor King. My association with the King family goes back many years. It's been my privilege that Darius King asked me to participate in this suit, in this pursuit of justice, and I look forward to helping bring that goal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your great stewardship in the courtroom. experimentation. And I shouldn't be surprised because she's simply brilliant. She did the same in our pursuit of justice for the family of Henrietta Lacks, and now she's doing it with the families of Ross Otto Hamrick and Victor King. And we are so fortunate to have her leading the civil rights efforts in America today with a great lawyers. Attorney Biha Shipp.
I really want to take a moment to emphasize and underline a point Attorney Trump raised and that we were discussing earlier today. How do we know that IH was being racist besides history itself? It shows in how they targeted these children specifically. The group of children that Ross Otto and Victor stand in the footsteps of. And that's that they targeted Junior Village, where the children had no ability to consent, where their parents had no ability to agree to these testing, to where they know that their abusers could run rampant hand in hand with those who took care of Junior Village. The same goes for the hospital that they chose here in D.C. They didn't choose the main campus of the hospital. They specifically chose the community clinic that had over a 90% rate of Black poor children as their patient population. This is a clinic that the community here in D.C., the Black community, would have said, I need to take care of my child. I need to make sure they have the same resources other white kids have. And this community clinic offers it to my child. And then they were used as test subjects. Ross Otto and Victor King were just test subjects to the U.S. government and to the NIH and being kept held in some storage facility for all these decades, to be used and marked as test subject Ross Otto, test subject Victor King, in the name of an RSV vaccine. It wasn't given to the white children of DC that had privilege, that had consent, that had ability to agree to be a part of this test. No, this was just the first lineup of human test subjects that had to be on the Black poor babies. And that's why we will hold the US government accountable for this death that they committed.
Thank you. Now, you're going to hear from your families. And it's so deep that I heard, listen to the family, you know, share. It's so very deep. She said they held them almost like hostages. And so it's not surprising that you see them referred to as inmates. These infant Black babies, they refer to as inmates. Let that sink in for a second. They were holding them in captivity while they experimented with them. Just paint that picture in your mind. They refer to them as inmates. Infant babies. And I guess it makes sense because they were being held against their will. They were in captivity. They weren't consenting with the parents. Because the parents, if you told me that my child was going to be part of some test and that y'all knew the results were making them sicker, we would have took them out, Malcolm. We would not have we love our babies just like you love your babies. And so, you're going to hear from Charlotte Hamrick and her little brother, Ryan Hamrick, talking about their brother, Ross Otto Hamrick, and their parents. And I just want to say for the record, your brother, Ross Otto, was not an inmate. He was not an orphan. He was not a test subject. He was not a lab. He was not a guinea pig. He was a child of God.
Amen.
And he deserved to be treated as such. That's why we filed this lawsuit today. Because we're doing it because we're doing what God wants us to do with these lawyers. Charlotte Hamrick and Brian Hamrick, the siblings of Ross Tyler Hamrick.
There's two fellows that are here today. As the journalist, the Lebanon Press Society, and the legal Lebanon Press Society. And I want to thank all of you and my children, who have been everywhere that is standing and they're holding their part of the pillar that exists. I'm standing here as a sister. I'm also standing here for my mother and father who died not knowing the truth. I stand here for my other brother, Dwight, who died not knowing the truth. And they deserve better. They deserve better. I drove by our family home, which was a basement of a house right off 13th Street. Jobs to support us, and our own government kills my little brother and then hide it. And it took years and years of research to discover the truth.
that they are doing their best because they took an oath. But the oath didn't say that they're going to use our people or our children as testimonies. So, with all of this going on right now, I am a little emotional, even though I never had the opportunity of meeting my brother. The pain is still there because my family suffered through the years. They blamed themselves for it, and now knowing that they had nothing to do with it, it was no issues of their own that caused it. It was the hands of the people that we believe were our government.
Now we will have Kyle Chisholm.
I also like to thank everyone who's participated and helped with this case. My story is pretty much the same as my sister's. My parents went through a lot after his death, and it created a lot of parts and kind of like separation, but they stayed together until for over 30 years. But my dad passed 2 years before, finding out about the case. And that's what's haunting me because he actually believed that it was something that he caused. So, that's it.
And the final family member you're here for is Mr. Darius King. Unlike my brothers and my sister, I did vote for you. You would love him. He was full of energy. He had the best smile you could ever see. And even though it's been a long time, there's no big monumental moment in my life where I don't tell my wife or Victor would have liked this. I go on a cruise. I said, Victor would have loved to go. So even though it's been a long time, he's really missed by me and my family. So I'm glad that Michael wrote the story, and hopefully we get an outcome out here that is extremely positive for all of us.
Thank you so much, Darius, and to all of the siblings for sharing some of the stories. And Michael Sherman, oh God, what you all have done for these families can never be overstated. I mean, just to give them some sense of what really happened to their families, their siblings. It shows you how important journalism is now more than ever in America. I mean, we're all in this together, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, we all have a role to play in war for liberty and justice for all. We all have a role to play. So journalists, please make sure you all help us hold the United States of America to account for the wrongful killing of these black infant babies, the NIH. As Ron shared with me, Attorney Crump, remind them that they all raised their hand when they became doctors to take that Hippocratic oath. And what did it say? First, do no harm. Well, why didn't it apply to these black babies? Why didn't it apply to baby Otto? Why didn't it apply to baby Vic? I mean, when you say do no harm, are you talking about only white babies? Our black babies are children of God also. And for you all in the medical community, if you all don't call for accountability along with us, this legal team and these families, not only shame on you, but good luck in trying to wash the blood off your hands. This is about blood on the hands of the medical community, the NIH, and the United States of America.
even though they were just little black babies, they have much blood on the hands of all America. We will share with you the lawsuit. Please read it. Please hold to account the perpetrators who had these children in their care. And it's a shame to say, Carol Powell Madison, it seems like they had these children in their custody and they treated them as if they didn't matter. Justice for baby Arnold, justice for baby Victor. Black babies' lives matter. Thank you.